The Stars of San Cecilio by Susan Barry, part of the Romance by Ida Pollock collection, narrated by Jerry Allen for Saga Egmont. Lisa looked at herself critically in the mirror. Then she smiled a little sadly, because she was looking her best, and it was her last night in San Cecilio. Her dress, with the huge scarlet poppy surrounding the hem, was new and as yet unworn. The main part of it was plain ivory cotton, and against it her tanned arms and shoulders had the pale hue of apricots. Her hair formed bright wings of gold falling to her shoulders, and her eyes had a shy look about them, and were grey as wood smoke. She had used rather more lipstick than she normally did, and her lips looked soft, eager, and hopeful. She sighed as she remembered that it was her last night in San Cecilio, and last nights, when a whole 13 had gone before without anything to distinguish their passing, seldom provided anything memorable. And even if it did, it would be in the nature of an anticlimax, for this time tomorrow night, Spain would belong entirely to her past. She went to the window and looked out at the stars that were hanging above the sleeping sea. They were such huge stars that she felt her breath catch with wonder as she looked up at them. Like lamps, she thought dreamily, like lamps suspended by invisible threads, and where each one peered at itself in the indigo waste of waters, there was a shimmer like phosphorescence. The same white light made the beach look curving and ghostly, and the strangely shaped rocks that littered the beach were like monsters crouching out there in the gloom. Inland, the coast swung away into dim distance, scattered with lights like a string of pearls. They were the lights of hotels, the lights of villas crowning the slopes, the riding lights of the odd yacht anchored here and there, and in that gentle darkness, before the moon rose, there was the breathless scent of flowers that blazed in every garden in San Cecilio in the daytime. Lisa moved back to the dressing table and added a final flick of powder to her nose. She dabbed perfume behind her ears and fastened a small pendant on a neat platinum chain about her slender neck. What did it matter, she thought, if such sweetness as she possessed was about to be wasted on the desert air of a hotel dining room? This last night she would order a bottle of vino de Campania, sample one or two dishes that she had been afraid to sample hitherto, and absorb as many last night impressions as she possibly could to take back with her to England, at the close of the one and only holiday on foreign soil that she had ever enjoyed in her life. And even now she couldn't say whether she had enjoyed it or not. As she was wafted downwards in the lift, she knew what would await her in the dining room. There would be the orchestra, composed chiefly of guitars, playing away softly, but with Spanish zest, against a background of palms and flower-wreathed pillars. Outside the wide-flung windows, there would be the lazy slap and murmur of the sea. Inside, the popping of champagne corks, the laughter of women. Most of the women would wear lovely dresses, far lovelier than her simple cream cotton with the hand-painted poppies on the skirt, and fabulous jewellery. And the men would all have acquired that added distinction bestowed by evening dress. Some would wear white shell jackets and cummerbunds, which she thought more attractive than the regulation evening kit. And as it was Spain, most of the men would have sleek black hair, like patent leather under the lights, and they would smoke cigars with their coffee and liqueurs. There would be the man with the blackest hair she had ever seen in her life, or at least she hoped he would be there again this evening, seated at a table placed discreetly in an alcove, his thin, dark, thoughtful face bent above a newspaper or a book, which he would have brought with him to the meal. Never once had he looked across at Lisa while they were in the same room together, although her eyes had dwelt on him often. There was an air of imperviousness, of remoteness about him, that was like a protective cloak, shielding him from even the thought of intrusion or the knowledge of his surroundings. The waiters who watched over him with extra attentiveness never broke through his wall of abstraction. He had beautiful long-fingered hands.